Well, since the Great Recession first began, we've been, well, economists at least, and news reporters have been watching that weekly and monthly unemployment number somewhat obsessively, although no one's predicting any massive changes in it for quite some time. Unemployment is likely to remain somewhere between 9 and 10% for a long time. And last week, in fact, new claims for jobless benefits rose. But the average number of Americans filing for unemployment insurance has declined over the last month, and people say that might mean we are slowly recovering. Harry Holzer joins us now. He is a former chief economist at the U.S. Department of Labor and author of the new book, Where Are All the Good Jobs Going?, now professor of public policy at Georgetown University. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, you know, I mean, there is this sort of obsessive compulsion to watching this unemployment number even every time that it comes out, even though we're not expecting it to change a whole lot. But I'm wondering if you think that as you look at recessions, the arc of the unemployment number tells us something about what's the best way to bring jobs back into a struggling economy.
Well, the big problem with this recession, two big problems. Number one, it has been a severe one, the worst since the 30s, but it's also been quite persistent. So we really look to that unemployment number to tell us when we're going to start seeing progress. And we've been disappointed so far that even though the economy has begun to recover, the unemployment rate, as you said, has been stuck close to 10%. I think once that number starts moving in a better direction and you start to see that number down, then other questions start to arise, like what kinds of jobs are we creating? What kinds of opportunities do they create for Americans? And how can we make sure that they're best prepared to take advantage of those opportunities?
Well, who's responsible for that? I mean, many economists say, look, there's not a whole lot the government can do to create jobs. The Obama administration has implied that businesses are not doing their part, that they're holding on to cash instead of creating jobs. Who in the end point, where does the buck stop in terms of hiring more people?
Well, you know, we have a labor market of about 150 million people, so it is a very large, complex phenomenon. Now, most of the hiring activity does come from the private sector, and right now the private sector has its reasons, perhaps, for holding on to that cash when there's a lot of uncertainty about future trends. They're going to hang back for a while and see what develops. Can't criticize them for that. That makes sense. They're not in the business to create jobs. They're in the business to make goods and services and to make profits. In those circumstances, I believe, and many other economists believe, that government should then step in and do what it can to try to stimulate private sector economic activity and private sector employment. Now, having said that, there's only so much the government can do, especially in times of very large deficits. So I think government should be active and should be engaged, but with a realistic sense of what it can and can't accomplish.
But Professor Holzer, I mean, you're down there inside the Beltway, and I'm wondering, and this is my personal impression, and maybe it's utterly irrelevant, and please feel free to push back on it, but I'm just wondering, economists seem broadly to be saying that the stimulus was too small, that maybe the government wasn't active enough on creating jobs. Some of the economic team departing from the White House actually said that on the way out the door. You've got Bill Daley coming on as the sort of chief of staff to replace Rahm Emanuel straight from a bank, J.P. Morgan. I'm just wondering if the Obama economic team and President Obama himself has a bit of a tin ear about the face of his economic policy here. It seems very financially based. It's sort of timid. I'm just wondering if there's a face that could actually sort of get closer to the labor force here rather than the financial sector. Who is going to be on this economic team, and do you have any confidence?
Well, I tend to think it has been a good team. I mean, I'll say a couple of things about that. First of all, everything is always clearer in retrospect. You know, hindsight is 20/20.
Right.
And given how things have played out, many of us wish the stimulus had been more robust and had been larger. Let's remember something. The political circumstances in which this administration has been operating have been awful. To do anything, to pass that stimulus bill, the president needed 60 votes, and at that time that included at least two or three Republican votes, and they were not going to vote for a much larger stimulus package. Senator Snow, Senator Collins, they made that clear early on. So there were political constraints that kept the administration from doing, I think, as much as it would have liked to do. And even last year, when the administration did float some ideas on more direct stimulus, more job creation, those ideas were all shut down by the Republicans in Congress and even by some conservative Democrats, nervous nervous about the piling up of debt, and therefore unwilling to spend more in the short run, which I think in some ways was a mistake, because the short run stimulus and long run debt issues are two separate issues. Bill Daley is being picked not so much because of his Wall Street ties, but generally his ties to the business community, his ability to work across the political aisle, and I think in the current political environment, that's something the administration needs to do.
And yet, Professor Holzer, I kind of sympathize with John's sentiment, although I'm certainly no Wall Street expert, in that the American public seems hungry for someone who has an outside perspective, who can perhaps bring some of the Main Street sympathies to some of the public policies that affect our economy, the people who might feel like the financial regulation bill was a little bit too soft in the banks, people who feel like the bailout of the banks was a little too lenient, and that we should bring more of that in and perhaps bring in some policies that would bring the unemployment number down.
Well, again, first of all, some of those policies have been enacted. The stimulus bill that the president and the congressional Republicans agreed to in December will provide some real stimulus to the economy. It's not my first choice for how to do it. I think the money could have been better targeted, but those other options were off the table politically. But, you know, again, it's easy to talk about, ideally, we would have liked a stronger set of financial regulations. Ideally, we would have liked a stronger stimulus package. Getting those things through the Congress, getting 60 votes for anything in this highly polarized political environment is much tougher to accomplish. So we can either fall back on nice rhetoric and say we need more of this, we need more of that, that has no chance of getting done, or we can look at the political realities and try to do what's possible. Politics is the art of what's possible.
All right, quick,
the administration was very successful at preventing a second Great Depression, at getting some economic recovery going. It just wasn't quite enough under these circumstances.
Understood.
To bring the job market back.
Got to ask before you go. Unemployment hovers around 10%. Who does it hurt most, the GOP or President Obama?
I think the pressure's on the Obama administration. He's got to start bringing that number down in the next 12 to 18 months. If he can get it moving in the right direction, if he can get it to 9% or less, then I think you can argue he has some momentum going into his reelection year. If not, he'll have major problems.
Harry Holzer is now a professor of public policy at Georgetown University, but he's a former chief economist at the U.S. Department of Labor and author of the new book, Where Are All the Good Jobs Going? Thank you so much.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.